little bit of a conflict today with another class, so some of the folks who came last time have gone to another class that is scheduled at this time. As a result, we have kind of an option here. We're going to go over some of the testing and some other things today that we did just to give you a better understanding of self. But if you're here today for the first time, and if you didn't get or didn't take the test that most of us are going to be going over today, don't fret. If you want to do that, I'll give you one out at the end of the time today. You can spend the rest of the time with us, but I'll give you one at the end of the time today. And then in the morning, if you want to come back, you'll need to take it tonight or early in the morning. Maybe you have to miss breakfast or something to do it. But if you come down to Chalet number 1 about 8:15, 8:30, 8:45 tomorrow morning, we'll go through the same scoring interpretation thing with you so that those of you who didn't get it done for today can get it done for tomorrow. Is that clear? Okay.
Are you going to have the whole same session tomorrow?
Not the whole same session, no. Because we don't have time for it, but just the scoring part of it, the testing part of it. Okay? Yeah, I guess we'd better. I think they might. We're going to take the first part of this, not necessarily the second part. Well, this is Who Am I Anyway in Relation to Myself? And I'm Joe. This is my wife, Pat Vaughn. Joe and Pat Vaughn. Last time we talked about who am I in relation to people I don't know and got to know some new people. I didn't get a chance to say at the end of last time, but one of the things I was impressed with the people who did that, was many people then, when we asked them to introduce the person they had met, said, "I want you to meet my friend so-and-so." And that was kind of nice to hear. And I hope that gave you a little bit of an opportunity to maybe just talk with someone that you may not have had an opportunity to talk to before. And we talked a little bit about what that feels like and what that means to meet new people, to meet people we don't know, to talk to people and to relate to people who we're not familiar with. But today we want to focus on self. Who am I in relation to myself? What can we learn about ourselves that maybe we don't know? And most of you know the reason then for the homework last night was to give you a couple of tests, if you want to call them tests. I prefer to call them techniques for self-awareness. We're going to go over those today and talk a little bit about what they mean for each of you individually. But before we do that, Pat's going to talk with us a little bit about some factors associated with the development of self-concept. Pat, you want to take it from there?
Okay. In preparation for our discussion today and journey into self-awareness, we would like to talk about four basic factors that operate in our lives that cause us pressures, conflict, and frustration. And I'd like to draw your attention to the blackboard. The first one is what others expect me to be, or expect us to be. We often have expectations from our parents in terms of what type of habits or the way we should be. Our spouse has expectations for us to be a certain way. Our friends, and often our children even, have expectation on us, and God. And this is a source of conflict for us. And an example of this would be a situation where there's conflict in a marriage, where we marry a person, we come into this marriage, and we have a certain expectations of them to change. We know that they have perhaps this habit or something that annoyance when we marry them, and we have this illusion that we have the power to change, and we place this on our spouse, and that's a tremendous source of conflict in marriages, and often lead to divorces because of the frustration becoming so great for the individual. The second one is what I believe I ought to be. And this is somewhat related to the first one, because the oughts come out of the expectations that others place on us. one of the oughts that I can think of right now is that we ought to be successful, or we ought to be competent, or we ought to be lovable at all times, or we ought to be self-sufficient. These are stressful oughts that we place on ourselves. The third one is what I myself want to be. And these are expectations that we kind of place on ourselves, that we want for ourselves. I want to be a good mother. I want to be a good wife. I want to be a lot of things to a lot of people. And these are oftentimes cause us stress and pressure. A fourth one is what I, in fact, am. And this is kind of what our session is all about. We're trying to search and look at who we are and what we are, kind of accept the good and bad in ourselves and the limitations that we have as individuals, as human beings. And although all four of these don't operate at the same time in our life, the fact that a number of these can and do, and they place a great deal of stress, pressure, and expectations from the oughts, the shoulds, the wants, and expectations of others. Joe, do you want to add something to that?
I just might add, I think that in my work as a psychologist, the times that I guess I've seen people in conflict, especially around who they are and what their life is like, have been times when these have been widely disparate. I don't think there's ever a time in anybody's life where all those things come together and just fit together perfectly. But when you've got a situation where the expectations on you for the kind of person you're supposed to be are widely different from what you feel you are or what you yourself want to be, we usually have trouble. We usually feel unresolved. We usually feel uncomfortable. We usually feel in conflict in some way. So that the more of these are disparate, the more what others expect of me is different from what I expect of myself or what I feel I ought to be or what I really am, the more likely it is that we're going to have some difficulty in terms of how we see ourselves, in terms of how comfortable we are with ourselves. Well, that certainly would be another expectation, but I wouldn't see that as crucial to self-understanding. I would see these four as really reflecting on and really contributing to how or in what way we see ourselves. Now, we certainly have expectations of our children, and yet that usually doesn't bother us so much in terms of self, the expectations we have for somebody else. It certainly has something to do with the way they see themselves, and that's the way we were formed too. Part of the way in which we develop the self that we have is by what parents expected of us, what society expected of us, what friends expected of us. And that's pretty normal. I mean, that's the way we're socialized. At the same time, I guess the point is that when those things are something that we feel we can't do, or we feel that they're very different than what we want for ourselves and very different than what we really are, then the likelihood is that there's going to be some conflict there. Well, let me give you an example. What others expect of me. Let's say you have a parent who expects of you that you would have been, or that you would be, a successful individual from the point of view of professional career, college education. But let's say, and probably what that would translate into is something that you believed you ought to do, because usually, as Pat said, those things that we feel we ought to do come out of what other people have given to us, or the society has communicated to us as an expectation. But let's say that what you really wanted to be was something very different from that. And what you really were, in fact, in terms of maybe your ability to just basically read or to manage the language in the written and spoken word, puts people under a lot of pressure. lots of young people in college who are not making it or not doing well may be experiencing that very same kind of conflict. The expectation is that you should do this. That if you're going to be a good person, if I'm going to care about you, you ought to be this kind of person. And yet the feeling is, I don't like that. I mean, that's not for me. I want to be out there doing something else. So when you have that kind of disparity, the likelihood is there's going to be some conflict in that situation. Any other questions about that? Jerry, did you? Okay, so we're all in a situation where somehow in our life we have to put those kinds of things together. We have to come to terms with what's expected of us and what we think we ought to be, what we want to be, and what we in fact are. The last one is what we want to focus on today, and that's really where we're going to get some information today. What I in fact am. The reason for the testing that we did was to try to give you just a little bit more insight into who in fact you are. Not that you don't know, but none of us know completely. And who we are is a process. It's a learning process. Coming to terms with getting feedback from experiencing life in such a way that we find out about ourselves is really what living is all about. Some of us are more open to learning about that than others. Some of us are more hesitant about trying to find out what other people think of us or even what we think about ourselves. Some of us tend to be a little bit more defensive at times about that. But in going through the testing with you today, what we'd like to do is just show you some other possibilities for yourself. Hopefully, opening up some of your own uniqueness that maybe you're aware of, that maybe was on the surface, or maybe on just beginning to surface as an awareness for you, or maybe even through those exercises that we did, giving you just a little bit of additional information about some of the things that maybe you weren't so sure. Maybe you didn't know about it all. Maybe just kind of emerged as you did those things. So that's what we want to do next. Let me tell you a little bit about the techniques that we used. I'm sure many of you are curious. Some of you worked long hours on the PRF in particular and came up to me earlier and talked about that a little bit. The Personality Research Form E, the long test that you took or technique that you took, is a measure of several personality traits, actually 22 scales with 16 items each. And I have a handout for you that we're going to use when we score that in a moment. These personality traits are traits that are broadly relevant to individual functioning. They include things like change, autonomy, cognitive structure, dominance, endurance, exhibition. I'm going to go through those a little bit with you, and we have some explanation of those. But what we're going to do is we're going to have you score those today, and we're going to plot those results on a profile for you. And you're going to look at whether you are high or whether you are low on a particular trait or characteristic. Now, there is no intrinsic value in being high or being low on anything. Let's take the scale of endurance, for example. The scale, 16 questions within that context, within that booklet, tapped whether or not you tend to stay with something to the bitter end, sticking with it under extreme circumstances, or whether you tend to stop that kind of thing when things get going, or when things get rough and go to something else. Now, if you score high on endurance, it simply suggests that you have a kind of attitude that says, a kind of problem-solving attitude that says, I'm going to stay with this to the end. And if you don't, it simply means that you have an attitude that says, hey, when it gets that tough, I'll go to something else, and then maybe I'll come back to it. So we're not talking here about positive or negative as much as we're talking about high or low on certain traits. As a result, what we're going to see in this is that the high and the low on these traits, in a sense, is what we're looking for a pattern. In between doesn't mean too much. In between doesn't tell you too much about yourself, but the high or the low does. The sentence completion that you did, Out of My Life and Thought, is an attempt to have you get at some of the attitudes and feelings and ideas that you might have as a person about yourself, about other people, and about important kind of issues in your life. And the degree to which you were able to just respond to those spontaneously will tell you a little bit about some of the pattern that might represent how you think and how you feel and what your attitude is. So we're going to look at those together. The way I thought it'd be best to do this, since I've only got 8 scoring templates and we'll have to pass those around, we have, I think, about 40 people here. If we could now organize ourselves into 8 groups of approximately 5 people, Pat and I will come around and give you the materials that you need to score the things, and we'll be able to score them together, and you'll be able to plot your own profile, and then we'll be able to talk a little bit about what that means. So if we can do that now, just kind of informally find 5 groups, 8 groups of 5, I'm sorry, 8 groups of maybe one group. Then we just have a group upstairs here. If we've got the 2 of those scales are what we call test-taking attitude scales. I'll just point those out first. So the last 2 scales, if you look at the last 2, it says desirability and infrequency. Did anybody score high on infrequency? Did anybody score above 60 on infrequency? That's right. The infrequency is just a way of just trying to measure whether the person went through randomly and took the test or whether they are responding so strangely that there would be some caution about the test results. The infrequency are questions, the questions that many of you asked about, where the person says, or where the question says, I've never brushed my teeth or combed my hair, something to this effect. On the test, you kind of have a little bit of a check on how the person's answering the responses. Okay, so you shouldn't be high on infrequency. If you're high on infrequency, you are of another world, or you read the question wrong. And this can happen. You can answer the no when you meant to say yes. When Pat and I took this together and talked about our scores, I did that on a couple of occasions. I meant to say yes, or I read the question in the negative and circled the positive. So that's probably the reason for most of your scores in the infrequency scale. The second one is a little bit more subtle, and that's desirability. If you scored high on this test, on this score, and I won't ask you for a show of hands, but this score reflects a tendency to what we call in psychology circles faking good, okay, in quotes. And what faking good means is that we are, as people, interested in presenting ourselves in a positive way. Now, that isn't particularly bad, and it isn't necessarily faking. It may well be our attempt to present ourselves, and it may be the way we see ourselves, it may be the way we are, or it may not be the way we are, but it's our attempt to present ourselves on a test, in a social encounter, in a class, in any kind of a relationship, in a more positive way. So some of you may have scored high on desirability. That may also indicate that you were not being completely honest with yourself about how you answered some of the questions. If you may have been shading it a little bit in terms of, again, reading and trying to read the questions as how would it best be to answer this rather than how do I really feel or what do I really think.
What are you calling high or low?
High would be above 60, low would be below 40 on the sides now, okay, looking on these standard scores.
But
so
maybe you need to stress the fact that you know it's not necessarily so that you were faking it.
Yes. So let me say again, it doesn't mean that you were faking necessarily. It may mean that's the way you see yourself. Okay. But it could also mean that you were trying to see yourself or wanting others to see you in a very positive way. Okay. Let's go back to page 1. Let's go back to the first scale. Let me first again tell you that high or low on any one of these scales does not necessarily mean positive or negative. I'm going to give you just an example of this. The first scale is called abasement. Okay? The description of a high score would be shows a high degree of humility, accepts blame and criticism even when not deserved, exposes himself to situations where he is in an inferior position, tends to be self-effacing. Now, there's both good and bad in that. As people, it's important that we, especially
maybe for certain kinds of people, it's important that we give to others, that we don't assert ourselves. At the same time, an excessive amount of that might reflect that we're being too ready to accept criticism, to put ourselves down. So that can be both positive and negative. The defining trait adjectives include meek, self-accusing, self-blaming, surrendering, resigned, self-critical, humble, apologizing, obedient, yielding, deferential, self-supporting. So you can see there's both positive and negative in there. There isn't one trait, or not all traits describe one person. Second scale is achievement. We know pretty much what that means. Aspires to accomplish difficult tasks. Maintains high standards instead of striving. Willing to put forth to attain excellence. It also can mean driving, overly ambitious. Okay? Lots of both plus and minuses to achievement. The third scale is affiliation. Enjoys being friends. Pretty much a measure of the amount of liking on our part of wanting to be with other people, contact with other people, social relationships. Fourth scale is aggression. You know what that means pretty much, but let me read the description. Enjoys combat and argument. Easily annoyed, sometimes willing to hurt people. This is the high score now, to get his or her way. May seek to get even with people whom he perceives as having harmed them. Now, in the defining trait adjectives, it could be aggressive, could be quarrelsome, could be more irritable, could be argumentative, hot-tempered, antagonistic, pushy, revengeful, and skip some, belligerent, blunt, palliative. Okay? Autonomy. Might need some description. We're going to talk about a measure of independence here. Do we tend to want to move out on our own, do things on our own, take responsibility for ourselves, or contrast that with the scale that we call superance? Frequently seeks the sympathy, protection, love, advice, reassurance of other people. May feel insecure and helpless without such support. Confides difficulties readily to a receptive person. Change. This means a person who likes new and different kinds of things, who is also changeable. We readily change opinions or values. Adapt readily to changes in the environment. People who like to move around. People who like to see different things, have different experiences. Again, can be positive or negative. Cognitive structure. I told you about, this is where I scored high last time. The cognitive structure does not like ambiguity or uncertainty, wants all questions answered correctly, desires to make decisions based upon definite knowledge rather than upon guesses or probabilities. Interesting that I'd be high in cognitive structure and in a field called psychology. Well, we don't have a high cognitive structure. That's right. The next is defendance. This is a tendency to suspect that others want to harm us or are against us, ready to defend ourselves, kind of on the defensive. Is what the scale is
talking. So
if you're high, I'm reading the high scores. If you're high, you do not accept criticism readily, perhaps, tend to defend yourself, maybe a little bit distant, a little bit defensive about what other people might be saying or doing with you. Dominance, I think we know probably what that means. An attempt to control the environment, to influence or direct other people, expresses opinions forcefully, enjoys the role of leader, and they assume it spontaneously. Endurance. This is, again, that ability to stay with something. I took this test, or this technique, again, as I like to call it, rather than a test, and found myself to be low on endurance. And I look back over the questions, and I wondered, now, why is that? Because I really feel like I'm a kind of stick-to-itive person. But what I think this test taps is a kind of, not a physical endurance, as much as a mental kind of staying with a problem and figuring it out, come hell or high water, really just hanging in there and just gnawing on it until you solve it. And when I thought about myself, my tendency in that way is to work on a problem, but also at some point to say, I'm not going to do this for a while, I'm going to do something else, leave it and come back. Exhibition. That's not going to tell anybody that I scored high on exhibition. Because it's not just play acting, it's not just wanting to exhibit oneself in a very negative way, it's also wanting to be the center of attention, enjoying having an audience, I like to talk, engages in behavior which wins the notice of others, I enjoy being dramatic or witty. I like to think I'm witty. Nobody else likes to think that.
Dramatic, too.
I don't mind getting up in front of a group of people and talking and telling stories and doing all kinds of other things. Harm avoidance. A tendency to avoid harm. A tendency to stay away from dangerous situations. We don't like to go up in the mountains. We don't like to go in uncharted wilderness. We don't like to do things that might have a degree of danger to them. Impulsivity. Again, high scores tends to act on spur of the moment without deliberation. Speaks freely. Maybe volatile emotional expression. Again, notice the positive and negative. Doesn't always have to be. It might sound initially negative or initially positive, but it isn't necessarily the case. Nurturance gives sympathy, comfort, care, concern for other people, and involvement with taking care of and giving to other people. The opposite may be in a sense of superness, where we take it or where we need more attention, concern, affection from others. Order, concerned with keeping personal effects and surroundings neat and organized. Dislikes clutter, confusion, lack of organization. Would you expect that the person on order would score a low on cognitive structure? No. Same kind of thing. Play. Does many things just for fun. Spends a good deal of time participating in games, sports, social activities, other amusements, enjoys jokes, funny stories, maintains a light-hearted, easygoing attitude toward life. Playful, prankish, mirthful, gleeful, carefree. Sentence is the next. This is a sense of awareness of sight, sound, smells, touch, a kind of in the extreme, maybe even a hedonistic or aesthetic view of life. It says that here. Remembers these sensations, believes that they are an important part of life, is sensitive to many forms of experience. Social recognition is next. Desires to be held in high esteem by acquaintances, concerned about reputation, approval-seeking, proper, well-behaved, seeks recognition, courteous, etc. Superance, we went over that. Understanding. This is an intellectual kind of understanding. It's not so much a compassionate understanding of other people, but a wish to want to need information, intellectual kinds of understanding of what makes things tick, how the world works, what happens in situations. Okay, so you have just a rough overview of that. You would want to pay particular attention to the areas in which you scored high and the areas in which you scored low, because those will probably tell you the most about yourself. The areas in which you scored in the middle simply means that you did not show a pattern of responses on the test that was strong enough in a high or low direction to really present itself in the test. Well, I wanted to have some time to discuss it, but it's getting to be the end of the time. We didn't get to the other one either. Let me suggest a couple of things. One, process this a little bit. Take a look at it. If you feel comfortable enough with it, share it with somebody else, your husband or your wife, your friend, someone who knows you or doesn't know you. See what they think. Talk a little bit about that. You can refer to the scales here. The other thing that I would like you to do, what would be very helpful for you to do, is for those of you who completed the Out of My Life and Thought, if you could sit down, you can do two things. For yourself, in terms of looking at that, what you need to do is say, look at that, those responses, and see if you see a pattern. Any kind of consistency. Do you see something coming through in several of your responses that might reflect a pattern? The other thing that would be very helpful to do with that, if you have someone else, is to give them that, let them look at your responses, and see if they see a pattern. See what they tell you about what they read in there. Give it to somebody else you trust, you feel close to, and say, what do you see here? And see what they give back to you. Usually in a sentence completion type thing, we're not interested in any one particular response, but we're interested in what kind of pattern, what kind of attitude, what kind of orientation seems to come through.
And also, if you skipped any, if you didn't answer any, there's a significance to that. You might ask yourself, you know, why you had problems answering that particular question, why you skipped it.
Yes. Pay particular attention to anything that you had trouble with in that test, or in that technique. What was hanging you up? Go back and look at what that meant to you. Mm-hmm. Pay particular attention to, if all your responses are fairly superficial, ask yourself, why was that the case? Was it because you thought you'd have to read it here, or was it because you're not leveling with yourself about how you feel? Okay. The way we learn about ourselves is sometimes fairly painful. You know, it's not always easy. It's kind of leveling with ourselves. This kind of technique, the sentence completion technique, is just one way of trying to get more understanding. The more you approach those kinds of things with a kind of an open attitude, the more likely it is you're to find something out about yourself. The other way in which it's helpful, if we had more time with them today, would have been maybe to begin to risk and see if we could share it with one another. Get someone to tell someone about what it is that we scored high on, what we scored low on. Come back tomorrow. We're going to work on relationships and who am I in relationship to an important person. We're going to talk about a number of irrational ideas in our relationship with other people. Any of those of you who want to talk further about this with me, feel free to catch Pat or I anywhere in the village. And anybody who wants to come back tomorrow morning to do it, can do that too. Those of you who are started on coming tonight or tonight tomorrow.